Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Oh, yeah, you heard it. You heard it. Yes, that sweet, sultry music coming to you, DJ Nation fam. What is going on? Ryan Williams here in the flesh. You can find me on Twitter at RyanAlexander_W. And we're here talking the DFS Week 3 main slate with the Fantasy Authority DJ Nation podcast. Fellas, how are we doing this week? You know I got to introduce the boys. It's Maddie D. Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter. And the godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at FantasyRat13. Boys, we're already 3 weeks in. I heard a lot of people talking about, oh, it's only week three and things like that. Like, no, I'm feeling like, man, we're already at week three. Like, I just can't get enough. And, man, the more goodness that we get, all these island games, island slates. We got the first week of doubleheader Monday Night Football, which we got a couple weeks of that, I believe, going on this season. It's just so fun and just want to enjoy every week. And so as we get into week three, boys, start off the slate before we get into it. How are you guys feeling? What's going on here? I mean, passing is down. It's the, you know, we turn the clock back. It's the 1980s, 1970s football, ground and pound, no 300-yard passer. Like, what are you guys' thoughts about the season so far, and what are you guys excited about?
Yeah, I'm definitely not loving the whole running the ball over and over again thing, but we're still waiting to see some big quarterback games. I guess the only team that's really doing it big right now is the Saints. I mean, they went 15 straight possessions or it's 15 or 16 straight in a row where they scored a touchdown or a field goal. So that Saints offense is rolling with the new coaching staff. And our boy Shahid, Ryan, I know we ended up on him late last week on Sunday morning. I think, you know, we ended up liking that game, you and I. But, you know, Shahid looks like he's the true, you know, key to that offense currently outside of Kamara. I mean, Olave is obviously still a really good, you know, wide receiver for them, but you know, he's not dominating the target share like he historically has. So they're using Shahid more than just a deep guy. He's, you know, a lot of end arounds and design screens. And it's just a definitely an interesting year. I mean, there's a lot of injuries at the, you know, top of the preseason fantasy rankings lists. You know, the Rams are a team that comes to mind without Puka and Cooper Kupp. So there's a lot of that. We're having to obviously sift through on a weekly basis, but that's what makes, you know, for me, that's what makes DFS fun, is the weekly puzzle with all the new pieces. So every week's a new challenge, and looking forward to diving in here on week three.
I mean, Kev, with the state of, you know, I mean, the Ravens have started 0-2. Tua is basically, you know, a concussion away from, you know, not only missing the season, but possibly not playing football anymore. You know, the state of the NFC, like when the Saints are at the top, like, is this just shaping up for your Chiefs three-peat, or what's going on here? Like, are Mahomes and the boys just going to just coast to the end, or, you know, are things going to start to right itself as we get further along in the season?
I mean, I think that's what always happens, right? I mean, with the Chiefs, so the Chiefs just kind of coach through the playoffs or coach through the regular season. And then once they get to the playoffs, they turn it on. I mean, that's kind of what they do every year. So it seems like that's what they're doing now. But I do – the one team that really worries me is the Texans. I mean, that team looks really good. All their weapons, their defense looks really good. So that I think we have a new challenger in the fold.
Definitely. Well, we love to see that. And I actually need to correct myself here. I believe Tua did pass for over 300 yards that first game. It just wasn't on that main slate. But yeah, you know, that we saw the Miami offense look very, you know, prolific and doing some things. So hopefully his health is okay and we can get back to it. But boys, we got a interesting slate to break down here with two Monday night games. You know, it kind of lessens the slate just a little bit, but, you know, still some decent game environments here as we have, you know, Philly taking on New Orleans. Philly's definitely has to be able to right the ship here as they've, you know, had had a heartbreaker and barely won that game against Green Bay in week one. And New Orleans is just rolling, like Maddie said. So that's definitely a game that sticks out. We also got in the late slate, you know, we got some, or I should say afternoon slate. Afternoon slate has got all the goodness here with Detroit, Arizona, Baltimore, Dallas. And then still kind of an interesting game between the 49ers and the Rams, who have injuries on both sides of the ball. So we could see a lot of concentrated pieces coming from that game. But as we always do it here with the DGen Nation fam, we started off at the quarterback position. And Kev, I'm going to toss it to you. And before I toss it to you, for me this week, it's pretty straightforward. I know we kind of maybe say that every week, but like for me at the start of this week, like I don't know how I'm going to get away from Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott in this afternoon game. I mean, that game like legitimately should honestly go for 60 points because the way that the Baltimore Ravens, you know, their backs are against the wall right now, Lamar's going to have to do everything. And we've seen it. Like, I don't know what's going on with Derrick Henry or what that is, but everything that we thought about with Derrick Henry, and I didn't have a lot of him, but it was just, you know, oh, Baltimore's going to be rolling. So this is going to be a good, you know, good environment for Derrick Henry because we know his numbers are always good when his team is winning. And they haven't been in a position like that thus far this season. So I don't know if he'll be utilized as such. And then on the other side, you know, we have a Dak Prescott, you know, concentrated offense here. They're at home. They're just coming off of that devastating loss to the Saints, didn't show up. And, you know, both of these defenses seem vulnerable. And Dallas games have, you know, over the past couple of years been incredible at home. That's where CD pops off. That's where Dak has some of his best games. And like when we have a game environment like that, that just jumps off of the page, like, yeah, I could see, you know, wanting to get to Kyler Murray, who's going to be popular. He has a $6,900 price tag in a Detroit game environment. But those, you know, the Arizona defense has actually been playing well this year, and so is Detroit. So if they're healthy pieces on both sides, like maybe I see that game disappointing a little bit. And then we go down a little bit, like we're talking about, you know, Derek Carr, who's going to be popular, but against the Philly D, that I just never like targeting the Philly D, so to speak, because they do have playmakers on that side. And I know they've kind of given up some points, but I just feel like Lamar and Dak can just put this slate out of reach. And so I'm really trying to find builds that concentrate between those two guys. But Kev, I'll let you wax poetic on where you're at with your quarterback thoughts to kind of start this week and where you're seeing possibly some value for people who want to play down.
I mean, I think it's pretty – so you look at some of these games. I mean, you have the one you mentioned, the Cardinals and Lions, that has the highest total on the slate. It's been bet up to 51.5 point total here between these two offenses. And then you have the Saints and Eagles game that's at a 49.5. That actually opened at a 45. It's been bet all up to a 49.5. And then you have the third game, which is the Cowboys-Ravens game that you talked about. And so, I mean, Kyler Murray, I think, is going to continue to be an incredible play. I mean, he was phenomenal last week.
won people a lot of money. Him and the Marvin Harrison stack came through. I actually ended up pivoting to a lot of Marvin Harrison, and it paid off because he was like sub 10% owned last week, and he went off.
Oh yeah,
and it just kind of sucked that the Rams couldn't really push them to have to really do more, because they pretty much kind of over the second half kind of took their foot off the pedal because they were up by so much. But I mean, Kyler Murray is really hard to get away from. Like I said, he's $6,900. It's pretty easy to stack him because like there's not like a lot of these ancillary pieces. It's him, it's Trey McBride, and probably Marvin Harrison, right? Greg Dortch, I guess, is in the conversation. So I do like that one. I do think another game here that opened at a 49, I know the total has dropped, but that is this Brock Purdy. And I'm not usually a big Brock Purdy guy, but I actually don't mind him here in this spot because the Rams' defense is so bad. They don't really get that. They aren't able to get a lot of pressure. And what I do like about this, though, is that typically it's harder to stack this team because it's like, who is it going to? Is it going to be Kittle week? Is it going to be Ayuk? Is it going to be Debo? Well, now that one of them out, it makes it a lot easier just to stack and just plug in Kittle, who had a big game last week, and Ayuk, and plug these two guys in. And it just makes for a really easy stack. I know Jordan Mason's going to be really popular. I don't know why DraftKings hasn't bumped him up higher than what he is. I mean, he's still only $6,200. It's incredibly too cheap. So he is going to be extremely popular. And I just think a little bit of a contrarian way to get access is still going with Brock Purdy and the other side, or Brock Purdy, Kittle, and Ayuk. So I do really like that stack as well as another option here.
Do you like Purdy if Kittle's out?
Yeah. I'm just not worried about this Rams defense. This Rams defense is really bad.
Yeah, that's an interesting take there, Kev, because I think I had a little bit of interest too in Purdy, kind of looking at it just to start. We know that Shanahan's had success against this McVay team, you know, when both of these teams have been healthy, so you know, could be definitely a good right spot for Purdy. But Kittle popping up on the injury report does give me some hesitation and some pause, because if they're just running out, you know, Brandon Ayuk's going to be popular. I think he's, you know, he's definitely your cash game, you know, build around piece with the injuries that they have, as well as Mason. We just saw the reverse on the other side with Kyren Williams and Cooper Kupp being, you know, the duo that was the most popular in builds. And I think we're going to get that same, we're going to get a flip script on that with the 49ers this week. But I just feel like, you know, there's not enough pieces then to kind of keep to keep it moving, which kind of, you know, it doesn't seem right. But I mean, and Maddie, you know, you can come in here and talk about your quarterback thoughts too. But I just feel like, you know, Juwan Jennings and, you know, whoever the backup tight end is, and Ayuk, you know, still kind of coming back from missing camp and just, you know, holding out for that contract. It just might not be enough. So that gives me pause on Purdy. But Maddie, where are your thoughts at quarterback this week?
Yeah, I actually hate quarterback this week. I think it's really gross personally. I think you stack one of those games that we talked about, whether it's Detroit, Tampa, New Orleans and Philly, or Dallas and Baltimore. I think you stack one of those three games up and pull a QB from there. Or there's, you know, a couple cheap options that are, I won't say they're decent options, but I mean, they're cheap enough with good enough upside in okay spots that they could do well. And that's Deshaun Watson and Geno Smith. I mean, you've got Deshaun, who definitely has rushing upside. He's at home. He's 5,500 playing against the Giants. I mean, the Giants defense isn't very good. And Deshaun's actually, for all the, you know, hate he's gotten over the first 2 weeks, he's actually had a couple good throws, especially to Amari Cooper, that Amari has just dropped or, you know, has short armed to the point where they could have been long touchdowns. So I do think there is some upside for this Browns offense, especially, you know, they don't really have a running back. They're rotating in Deontay Foreman with Jerome Ford. And I could see Deshaun throwing for, you know, 260 and three touchdowns and maybe running one in too. So he definitely has a ceiling here, and he's 5,500. It's a really low total game though. I mean, total's 38, so 39. But I mean, it's low totals across the board outside of those three games that we talked about. So Geno Smith is another one at home against Miami. But I mean, that's if Kenneth Walker's out again. But I mean, do we really expect Miami to be able to push the ball on the other side? That game last week was a little back and forth, and so, you know, they kind of had to throw some. So I'm not as sold on Geno as I am would be on Deshaun, because I think Deshaun can get there either way, whereas Geno is more so probably game script driven. And so outside of those two guys, one guy that definitely has upside any week that he steps on the field and we haven't talked about is CJ Stroud. And I don't think anybody's going to play him, you know, with how high priced he is compared to everybody else. But I mean, if Mixon's out, I mean, are they really just going to turn around and hand the ball to Cam Akers all game? I don't really think so. And especially with Minnesota, you know, they like to blitz a lot. They like to play a lot of man coverage, and that feels like a recipe for disaster. Against this Texans receiving core. So I could see Stroud going for, you know, 35 or 40 points here, you know, 400 yards and a couple touchdowns. And surprisingly, Sam Darnold's been pretty good on the other side of, you know, for the Vikings through 2 weeks. So there's definitely if you had to pin me and make me pick a sneaky shootout for the week, it'd be Houston, Minnesota.
I agree with you. That's the one game that we didn't get that I didn't really mention. But I also don't think it's crazy to go Sam Darnold. I mean, Sam Darnold's $5,500.
Yep.
I mean, he just went up against San Francisco's defense, and he put up 21 fantasy points in that game. I mean, we just know that Kevin O'Connell scheme does really well for fantasy quarterbacks. And I mean, last week he had 268 yards, two touchdowns. Good news is that Justin Jefferson sounds like he's trending towards playing. He was limited participant today. I know some news, some worry about that. So you're going to have that. But I mean, if you're looking for a cheap quarterback, I think he's the cheap quarterback you go with, because he's played pretty well so far this year. And I think this game could be the one that gets overlooked by people and could be the one you needed.
Yeah, I actually love that call out, Maddie, because I think that game, and honestly, like what Kev's saying, like the Sam Darnold side of that is where I'd be interested to go. I think Dalton Schultz is coming back for Houston this week, which just makes it a little bit more muddied. I mean, you know, Nico Collins is just a beast, freak of nature. And so you can't build a CJ Stroud team without him. But, you know,
we're going to have a Tank Dell week eventually.
You got Tank Dell week. We got Diggs returning to Minnesota, so you know he's going to be begging for the ball. You know, I always love the revenge narratives over here, guys. So, you know, it just muddies it a little bit. And just the way that the Bears defense was able to scheme up things with CJ and kind of, you know, make that make it a little bit difficult for him as far as scoring went. They were able to move the ball pretty easily, but the Minnesota side just so much more concentrated that's what makes me excited to play Sam Darnold on that side with Jefferson and not paying for too much. Definitely think it's interesting that you called out Deshaun. I mean, Amari Cooper is just going to have a break the slate week, you know, one of these weeks. He's priced at a, you know, really interesting spot where, you know, he's just above, you know, got, I mean, nobody's going to play Waddle, but like Ridley and Jameson Williams and people, you know, kind of interested in George Pickens and Jackson Smith Najigba has been popping off. And then right under, you know, the guys like DK Metcalf, Chris Olave in a good game, Malik Nabers, Godwin, Diggs, like nobody's going to look to play Amari Cooper this week. And he's pretty much been the guy there. Like nobody else is. And it's weird because he's getting, you know, these targets, but like you're looking at his logs and it's like, wait, he's got 8 targets and put up 18 yards. What's happening here? But we know that he can, you know, he definitely can smash. And I think that makes an interesting play if the Giants are able to push the pace, which they have the pieces to be able to do so.
Yeah, the thing with Amari is you're talking about looking at his game logs. I was doing the same. He scores 3 points or he scores 33 points. Like there is no in between with him. And so he's like, he's always just a really good tournament play because of that, right? Like when he hits, he hits. It's never for like 18. It's always, you know, an absolute nuke score. So yeah, I like him a lot and I agree. I don't think anybody's going to click his name.
Real quickly before we move it on to running back, because I do, and you know, with quarterback too, it's like everything's been down on passing, like it's a running league. So, you know, I am interested to just see, like, are these guys able to put up? Because I think Lamar's going to have to put up, Dak's going to have to put up in that game. Like, Richardson's probably going to have to try and show some things against Chicago this week. Like, I do think we could get a righting of the ship. But another one of the guys who might be forced to put up is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts comes in at 7,300. Like, I don't know if people want to play him necessarily, but, you know, against this New Orleans team, if New Orleans is able to put up points, like, we know that Jalen can sling that thing, and it, you know, no AJ Brown, okay, but like, we saw what Devonta Smith was able to do, and he's had that spot a couple times with AJ Brown being banged up over the past couple of years. You know, Goddard kind of was able to find some footing in that game as well, and then Saquon is going to get work too. Like, that game could actually be bananas, and people won't look at Jalen Hurts, but that rushing upside that he offers, if he's going to be forced to sling, could possibly have me in some interest in GPPs.
Yeah, it's hard not to like that game. I agree.
Let's talk about the running back slate, guys, because, you know, Kev, you kind of mentioned it at the top. Like, don't know what DK's doing with Jordan Mason's price, but they have not priced him up to a spot where it makes it, you know, hard to think about not having him in a lineup. I mean, he's 6,200, like, going to be getting a lion's share of the work against a 49ers team or against a Rams team that is banged up on both sides of the football. He just has such an appetizing, you know, price tag. Now, the interesting thing is that, you know, I think there are some running backs kind of in this range that are going to jump off the page. And we have one running back who we need to monitor all week, and that's Cam Akers. Because yep. if Joe Mixon is not able to go, I didn't even look and see what Akers' price was before this, but 4,700. So that can be interesting piece to build around. Now, I will say, you know, for those of us who are watching the Allen game with Houston and the Bears, you know, they put in Cam Akers, you know, when they think they are able to kind of have the game in hand, and this guy goes out and fumbles, which was one of the problems that he had with the Rams and made it hard for Sean McVay to trust. So, you know, I'm not sure what the leash is going to be like with him in Houston, but, you know, at 4,700, you definitely don't want to think about that in your, you know, in maybe single entry tournaments or your cash games. But, you know, for large field GPPs, that just is one thing that stands out to me. But yeah, in the mid range, it's definitely nice. You know, James Conner, you know, at a $6,600 price tag is one that I'm definitely keen on, especially if I'm not playing the quarterbacks from that game. He's just been getting so much of the usage. Think that, you know, he's in a great spot. Zamir White, I know we've kind of talked about him not being, you know, that great of a running back on this show a couple times, especially with Debro being on, but he's 5,500 going against the Carolina Panthers. Like, that's always going to draw some interest from me. I think it's an interesting week for DeAndre Swift against this Colts team that has given up, you know, some running back games. And, you know, with the way that the Bears offensive line is playing and the things that are coming out in Chicago, just what the team is, you know, needing to do or to help Caleb get right, it's by running the football. And so with DeAndre Swift at $5,600, I think it becomes interesting because this is a guy they brought in free agency. And if you're not going to, you know, give him, you know, close to, you know, 18, 20 touches in this matchup, like, what did you bring him in for? And then Jerome Ford is another one for me, like, in that Cleveland matchup, which is kind of why I didn't necessarily think about the Deshaun Amari too much until you started talking, Maddie. But, you know, it's such a nice matchup for Jerome Ford here, who, you know, has Dante Foreman, I guess, to worry about a little bit, but that share seemed to level off as it was going into week two. So, and I do think the pay-up options again this week are interesting. You know, nobody wanted to play Kamara last week in a great game environment. Now he's, you know, got this Philly team. He's going to be immensely popular there. You know, Jonathan Taylor has just, you know, he's been doing his thing. He's 7,300. Like, you know, we got Barkley up there. You know, I think people are going to want to click on those names. And so maybe the 6K range goes a little bit overlooked, but I kind of like it this week, Maddie. What say you at running back this week? What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's really hard not to just click Jordan Mason's name at 6,200. I mean, he's going to be 40 or 50% owned, but it's just they're out of players. They're, like you said, they're playing a Rams team that's just banged up and just bad on defense and offense. They're going to still control that game, I think. I mean, I don't think they're going to look to drop back to pass a ton with no Deebo Samuel, no George Kittle. And you know, really, I mean, that offense is just going to be Mason and Ayuk. And, you know, they're still projected to score 25 points. So I don't know how you don't click Mason's name. He's actually like legit good in behind that offensive line. So I like Mason a lot. I like Kamara. He's a huge part of that Saints offense currently. And, you know, we saw Bijan just tear up the Eagles recently. And the Eagles defense just isn't what it used to be. They used to have a really out front seven where you never wanted to play any running backs against them. But that's, you know, over the last year or so, that's just not been the case. They're the absolute bare minimum league last in pressuring the quarterback. And it's just a sign of their lack of defensive front that they have currently. So I'm totally cool with Kamara. I don't think it's chasing. I mean, yeah, the touchdowns, you're chasing touchdowns, you know, four touchdowns. He's probably not going to do that again, but you know, he's still heavily involved from pass game standpoint and gets a lot of carries. So I do like him. Akers, man, I don't know what I'm going to do if Mixon's out. Again, I think I just like the pass game more, and I don't know that Akers becomes this lock, even though he's 4,700, because he is going to still split with Ogunbowale. And, you know, if they were to get down, Akers is not the pass catching back. So, you know, and like you said, Ryan, he came in and fumbled in last week's game. So how much of a leash does he have? I just don't know what the upside is there. I mean, obviously it's good salaries. I don't know that you necessarily need the salary this week. I mean, there's some good cheap quarterbacks. There's, you know, a lot of receivers that are in that mid tier again that we're going to talk about, but I don't think he's necessarily a lock. So I'll be curious to see where I end up with Akers by the end of the week, but that's where I stand currently. And I do like Charbonnet if Walker sits. Miami is like an absolutely terrible run defense to start the year, apparently. I mean, they've gotten gashed in both weeks one and week two. And Charbonnet, you know, showed that he can put up points last week. So last 2 weeks. So, I mean, even in week one, he scored a touchdown through the air. Last week, he had five targets, caught five passes, and had a rushing touchdown on the ground. So I think it's another potential solid week for Charbonnet. He is 6K, so he's a little priced up, but I, for a guy that's not really going to come off the field, I do like him a lot. So another injury to monitor, and before I kick it over to Kev, is Tajay Spears. If he were to miss, talk about another good rushing matchup, would be against Green Bay for Tennessee. So I do like Tony Pollard a lot if Spears were to miss, but that's just another injury to monitor as we head into the weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you talk about the top three running backs, I think that you could probably look at for this week. One, I mean, Jordan Mason, you kind of mentioned that. We've kind of talked about him a little bit, but he's just been an absolute workhorse, handling 81% of the snaps, 76% of the rush attempts. The only thing that worries you a little bit is he hasn't been involved in the passing game. He only has 3.1% target share, but he is still running 56% of the routes. So they just really haven't looked to utilize him, but that maybe could change with some of these injuries that they have, to maybe get him a little bit more involved in the passing game. But he's still been really efficient with his touches too. 6th missed tackles, 4th per attempt, 11th yards after contact per attempt. And we talked about the Rams. You know, the Rams have really struggled to stop the run. Through two games, they've allowed 197 rushing yards per game, which is actually only the third highest rate in the league, but their 33% stuff rate is the 6th lowest rate in the league, and they rank 12th in missed tackles, 4th per attempt, and yards after contact per attempt. So they have just not been very good so far this year, and so it's just really hard to get away from Jordan Mason, because this is just like the nut matchup that you want him in. The other one is going to be Devon Achane, and I know Raheem Mostert is back practicing, so he's probably going to play, but regardless of that, Devon Achane is an absolute monster. He's been one of the most efficient running backs in the league the last two seasons. He's seeing an 18.4% target share. He's running almost 50% of the routes. We saw last week without Mostert that they were willing to give him 29 touches. And so I think he is this team's true workhorse. And I know that this may not be the best matchup, at least in terms of without having Tua. But the Seahawks have struggled to stop the run. They've allowed the 11th most rushing yards. They've also allowed the 8th highest explosive run rate allowed and the 7th highest yards after contact per attempt, which is right up Devon Achane and what he is the best at. And so he's really hard to get away from as well. Like, you know, at the running back position, I mean, he's not overly expensive either. You know, what, at his price tag of $7K. So like, it's just not that hard to get away from him, but it's an incredible spot. You know, you talked about, I won't have any James Conner this week. I'm not really all that excited about him in this matchup. The Lions, just the last 2 years in a row, have been the best run defense in the league. They have allowed the fourth fewest rushing yards already this season. They have yet to allow a run of 10-plus yards. And they also have allowed the fewest fantasy points or fewest DK points to running backs. And so I'm just not as excited about him. He's also not really handling anything in the passing game, so that does concern me a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's only sees a 35% route share. He is handling 57% of the rush attempts, but he's just not really being involved in the passing game. That's also because Kyler doesn't really look to check down. So I just probably don't love playing him there in that spot. You mentioned Tony Pollard. Really like that spot. I don't care if Tajay Spears plays or not. This is still a great spot. You know, heading into the year, there was a lot of talk that this is going to be a 50-50 split. It hasn't been that at all. Right now, Pollard is handling 65% of the snaps, 61% of the rush attempts. And through the air, he's actually running 45% of the routes, seeing a really good 17% target share. He's also back to being the guy we saw him pre-injury when he was with the Cowboys. He's 12th in yards after contact per attempt, and he's also top 20 in explosive run rate. And this is a great matchup this week. Against a defense that has allowed the sixth most PPR points to running backs. That's right up DK's alley. And then they've also allowed the sixth highest yards per carry, the second highest explosive run rate. So I think Pollard is a great play at cost. He is kind of a little bit of a hedge off of Jordan Mason, who's going at a very similar price tag to Tony Pollard, 6K. And so I really love that spot for him this week. So I think Pollard is in a really good spot. You know, I will have no problem paying for Jordan Mason and Devon Achane. I think all three of those guys do make for really good plays. The Zamir White thing worries the hell out of me. This should be on paper a great spot matchup for him. They should be well within, you know, in terms of game script, because he's still playing. It's like, it's almost like he's almost handling like 60% of the rush attempts. But he's just been so bad on them. Like, he has just been dreadful so far this year. Yeah, he's handling 60% of the opportunities. But his 3.4 true yard per carry ranks 36th among all running backs. And now, don't get me wrong, this is a great matchup. The Panthers are allowing the third most DK points to the position, but it feels kind of slim because he's not involved at all in the passing game. We're now seeing Alexander Mattison get goal line carries. Like, I don't know. Like, it seems pretty thin there. The other one that I've seen some people talk about this week is an option that I will probably have none of, and that's DeAndre Swift. He has been so bad. Like, he is rushing for a 2.6 true yards per carry. Do you know how fucking bad you have to be to have a 2.6? And I know, you know, yard per carry, you know, isn't the end all be all stuff, but like, my God. But most of it, or some of it at least, is their offensive line is so fucking bad. Like, they just got abused the entire game against the Texans because their interior offensive line is so bad. Like, it's a sieve. Everybody's coming through the line, and, like, they can't stop anybody. So you sort of feel bad for DeAndre Swift because it feels like as soon as he touches the ball, there's somebody lighting his ass up. But this is a good spot, though. Like, this is a good matchup where you would want to target a running back, and DeAndre Swift isn't expensive. But fuck, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can trust him.
No, and I do feel like, as bad as he has been running the football, like, they are going to try and get the ball in his hands because they have to run so many things close to the line of scrimmage because this line is so bad. And so the hope is that, you know, some of these Shane Waldron concepts that he was running with Walker and Charbonnet out there in Seattle last year, like, come to fruition with DeAndre Swift, and he's able to, you know, get things going. And like I said, to me, it's just, if he can't do it in this matchup, then like, he's dead. Like, you drafted him for no particular reason, because this is the spot that like screams he should get going this week.
Do you like, okay, well, two things. One, because I want to ask you, one, Shane Waldron is this just an idiot. Like, he should be fired in the sun. Like, he is a terrible offensive coordinator. We saw it last year with Seattle, yeah, and what JSN said about him after he left. And now that, and then just Chicago does a very Chicago thing and bring him in as their offensive coordinator. So, like, are people talking about that Chicago, like, wanting him to get fired? Because, like, he should be. And two, how close are they just moving on? Like, is DeAndre Swift going to get Miles Sanders? Are they going to try to see what they have, or what Khalil Herbert or Roschon Johnson?
Yeah, well, I think Khalil probably has the better shot to play because he's not as much of a liability from a blocking standpoint as Roshan is, or at least what the last time we saw of Roshan. Like, that's why he couldn't see the field, because they weren't able to use him in pass protection for when Justin Fields was out there, you know, running RPOs and that such. So yeah, this could be, you know, Khalil Herbert could have his time to shine, because, you know, we've seen it with DeAndre Swift even when he was at Detroit, and Deuce Staley was like, you know, this dude's not running hard enough, like we're gonna need to get somebody else in here to make it work. And you know, they basically just, you know, it's kind of ironic that like DeAndre Swift went to Philly before he went to Chicago, but like David Montgomery was in Chicago and now he's in Detroit, so they basically flipped Montgomery for Swift, and I'd rather have Montgomery right now. But but yeah, you know, Shane Waldron, he definitely, you know, this has to be something in this game to be able to show. I mean, a lot of people out in Chicago are talking about this should be a win for the Bears. Like, this is one of the better matchups that you're going to get. And I think, you know, they're looking at what Malik Willis was able to do. Now, the thing about that is, like, Matt LaFleur is a top five coach in this league, hands down. He's one of the best offensive minds. He knew exactly the appropriate game script to give to a Malik Willis, who really didn't have another shot at being on any other team. But, you know, with Matt LaFleur and that offense, people can thrive. So it's hard to kind of compare the two, but Shane Waldron's going to have to do something this week, you know, with this offense to make it seem like he deserves to have his job there. He deserves to have the key work on Monday.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's so bad.
Yeah, you know, and just to take it to Seattle as we transition into wide receiver, Kev, unless you guys have something else, but Devon Achane, Kev, I'm so happy you brought him up because he might be my favorite pay-up running back this week. And to bring him back with, you know, a piece like JSN on the other side, who's only 5,400, this might be the lowest price tag that we see on JSN if he's able to go out and have an explosive game. He's only $300 more than Tyler Lockett, and it seems like he's done so much more and had so much of a share. At least week two, it just was incredible. I know that week one, Lockett was still, you know, getting what, 7 or 8 targets in that game, but JSN breakout has definitely, you know.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Come and we're ready to, you know, see it take full flight, the rocket ship emoji blast off here. So I like a mini stack with the two of them because, you know, you need, if we're you're talking about Geno, Maddie, and, you know, playing these pieces, like, we need Miami, the Miami players to show up. And it's kind of tough to trust Tyreek Hill unless they're going to run some end arounds with him, because I don't think Skylar Thompson could get him the ball. But the way HN was used, and even them still running him last week, you know, in the third and fourth quarter, like when the game was already, you know, out, they're giving him, you know, whatever, 22 carries and a couple more touches out of the backfield. Like, he's so explosive. So would definitely love to have some pieces of him in the script.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kev.
The only thing I wanted to say is I definitely piggyback off what Maddie said about Zach Charbonnet, because it doesn't look like Kev Walker's going to play. Like, his usage last week was fucking incredible in that game. He played 98% of the snaps.
He didn't come off the field.
one snap, he was off the field. He handled 14 of the possible 19 rush attempts. He also ran a route on 62% but he also saw a 12% target share. And that's kind of the difference between Jordan Mason. For Jordan Mason last week, only saw one target. He did run 52% of the routes, but again, 2.8% target share, which is in line with what he's done this year. Where Charbonnet is definitely involved in the passing game here with this team. So and he's also right around the same price, like $5,900, I think he is. So really right around that same cost of Jordan Mason. So I think those two, Tony Pollard and Zach Charbonnet, are incredible leverage off of Jordan Mason.
Yeah, I love finding ways to get leverage off of Mason this week, because, you know, this is just not a good game environment with the injuries that we have on both sides of for this team. Like, especially if Kittle's out, like, I'm off of this game. Like, I might, you know, Ayuk, I think, and I do play cash every week. So, you know, for those cash builds, like, yeah, I'm going to have Ayuk in there. But like for tournaments, I'm going to be completely off of this game. I just don't know how. I just don't see it. Like, the, you know, the Rams wide receivers that they're going to be running out there with, you know, Johnson and Jordan Whittington and Kobe Parkinson, like, it's just no. And on the other side, and we got offensive linemen banged up for the Rams as well too. Like, it's just an ugly game. And so, you know, Jordan Mason's going to become one of those guys where we talk about him, like, or I shouldn't say we, I don't want to speak for you guys, but like for me, he's going to start to get himself into the Derrick Henry category for me, where like, if you're not going to be out there like running routes and catching passes and you're just going to be a running down back, like, I can't necessarily play you in all of these ugly matchups, so to speak. And I get it, you know, they are, you know, a 7.5 point favorite or whatever, but I took the Rams. Like, it's such an ugly game. And like, if you're going to give me the hook, like, I'm going to take the 7.5 points because the 49ers got injuries on their side too. So I love finding leverage on guys who are going to be popular. And, you know, we lucked. I played Mason last week. Like, he was only 5,200 and like, he got that touchdown. So yeah, he got like 20 points, but like, if he's not, you know, if he's not catching passes, like, we might not see that, you know, in 15 points, you know, 10 to 15 points might not get it done this week. It's definitely not going to get it done this week, I don't feel like, unless you, you know, get the, unless you find a way to get him in that game, which, yeah, I'm playing Dallas and Baltimore for that reason. So maybe he does fit onto that bill perfectly where I can take that, but I'm looking for players who can be explosive. And so, yeah, like I'd rather, you know, get the money for like an Achan and, you know, pay down if I can over Mason. Let's talk about wide receiver, because I do feel like this is the breadwinner this week to get these pieces right. And, you know, even with passing being down and us not seeing, you know, these 300 yard bonuses from the quarterbacks that we're taking, like, we're still having some great scores come out from the wide receiver range, and definitely, you know, some popular plays at the wide receiver range, you know, hitting well. You know, I know that there were a lot of people on JSN last week. I know that, you know, a lot of the field was on Malik Nabers last week, who hit. You know, the Cooper Kupp one was tough, but he looked like he was on his way to get there. You know, Rashid Shaheed and CD Lamb in that environment there. So wide receiver has definitely been a one where you definitely want to make sure you get right. And let's just start off at the top, because for me, it's like CD Lamb. He's still 8,800 from last week. And there were so many things that could have gone his way where he could have just had an insane game last week that just weren't coming to fruition. You know, things called back from penalties, and just, you know, him and Dak not being on the same page. But here against Baltimore, you know, and what possibly is a must win because of the way that the NFC is shaping out, and it's definitely a must win from Baltimore. So definitely love a script where, you know, Dallas has to be able to move the ball. And let's just call a spade. These two running offenses are like totally non-existent. Like, Dallas has no identity in the run game, and Baltimore is not interested in getting their running backs going. They're just going to let Lamar do his thing. So I love getting CeeDee Lamb in that game to build around. He's by far and away my favorite high price wide receiver. Then it comes down to, like, you know, some of these guys in game scripts for me. Like, yeah, I have some interest in Harrison with Kyler Murray. I have some interest in Nico with CJ, you know, potentially Evans and Godwin, if they could fit right with Baker on a stack. But I got to look down, you know, further in the range of like the JSNs, the, you know, Jameson Williams coming in at 5,800, you know, there's some cheap guys that just stand out to me. Rashid Shaheed, we've talked about him. He's only 5,300. Like, Maddie, you talked about the Tank Dell game and coming, like, he's only 5,200. Like, there's so many good spots here. And then we're going to have the Rams guys be, you know, immensely popular. You know, there could possibly be some Green Bay guys that are of interest if Jordan Love is indeed playing over Malik Willis. So, it's an interesting spot for receiver. I think Juwan Jennings is going to catch some steam at 4,100 with no Kittle as well too, which makes for a good play. So yeah, I mean, I'll probably try and stick in the mid range. but I know for sure that CeeDee Lamb is going to be of interest to me and building around, and then, you know, potentially Zay Flowers, but it's so tough to get behind a 6,800 price tag for him when I have interest at the tight ends on that offense, and we'll talk about them in a bit. Chris Godwin's been absolutely incredible to start the season in the role that he's in, and he's 6,500 will be popular. But yeah, for me, it's, I really think, and you know, not to take the easy way out, fellas, as I pass it to you, Maddie, but I'm going to just build around, you know, my game stacks and see what kind of fits and work it in. But I will have an insane amount of CeeDee Lamb this week. And so that'll be fun for me. Maddie, what are you doing at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on everything you just said. If I'm picking up top, it's definitely Lamb over Jefferson, unless you're stacking that, you know, that sneaky game that we talked about, like Darnold with Jefferson is an easy stack because of how cheap Darnold is. So that's the only way I would play Jefferson is if stacking that Minnesota game. But outside of that, yeah, it's give me Lamb up at the top, but below Lamb, once you get below Lamb, I mean, Godwin's and probably the next highest price guy that I like. They finally pushed him back into the slot. Last year, they had him a lot of playing out wide. Now he's finally back to that slot role that we've been accustomed to him playing, and he's finally smashing with that. So I don't think it's a fluke that he's been crushing. He's like I said, he's back to his most production role that he's had in his career. So we touched on Ayuk. I mean, Ayuk's a good play. Devontae Smith is a good play AJ Brown's out. And we talked about that game, you know, New Orleans and Philly. Smitty's just such an easy run back if you were to load up the Saints side and play that game that way. So and then outside of that, I'll touch on, you know, the two guys we already kind of talked about, but that's Tank Dell and Amari Cooper. I think both those guys are primed for explosions. Neither of them have done anything yet. And they're the exact type of guy, both of them, that can take down tournaments. So I want one or both of Amari Cooper or Tank Dell on my teams this week. Tank Dell at 5,200, that's just criminally underpriced. Like that's ridiculous is what it is. So I will have a lot of Tank Dell, and I would have a lot if I was playing a lot of teams, but, so those two guys are in that mid range that I like a lot. And we already mentioned Shaheed as well. I think Shaheed is, you know, a serious part of that offense, and they're scheming up ways to get him touches. And I don't think it's a fluke for him either. That just like Godwin, I think they're using him in the right way. And he'll continue to see deep balls, but he's also getting those layups that are screens for easy points. So an explosive player that gets the ball in his hands a lot, sign me up for that.
Oh, yeah. Kev, where are you at this week?
Well, I mean, one, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown certainly deserves consideration. I know there was some concern, he kind of left a little bit last week, but he's good to go. He practiced full on Wednesday, but I mean, the man saw, after a really down week one, saw 19 targets last week, 11 catches, 119 yards. And like we mentioned in this game, this is a really solid matchup. The Cardinals secondary is not very good. I mean, this should be a prime spot for Amon-Ra St. Brown at $8,200. Nico Collins, you already talked about him, but he's always going to be in play. But Devonta Smith, I think, is in for a smash game. I mean, he has been seeing incredible usage. He also does a very good job against man. He is their man beater, and the Saints do run man at a relatively high rate. But Devonta Smith at $6,900, really like that. Zay Flowers has been seeing a 27% target share so far. So if you're wanting to get access to that Dallas Cowboys game, I think whether you're running a Cowboys stack, I think Zay Flowers is definitely the run back option at $6,800. And then I think from there, a couple other wide receivers, Chris Olave, I think really could bounce back. I think people are just going to all flock to Rashid Shaheed. And I think that's a bit of a mistake. I still think Chris Olave is the number one wide receiver here. Should have had a touchdown. And we also just have to keep in mind that this team has just blown two teams out. It's kind of like the Cowboys, right? Like last year where they were just boat racing teams at times. And it was just, they didn't have to do anything in the second half of games. This is how this team has been. I mean, I think the Saints put up 35 points by halftime last week. I mean, they haven't had to do anything in the second half. So, I mean, I think if they can be pushed a little bit, I think that's where it opens things up. But Chris Olave at $6,300 is incredibly too cheap. And at the same price, like this range right here, because I think Chris Olave, DK Metcalf had a huge game last week, and this is a really good spot for him. Jalen Ramsey is just not Jalen Ramsey anymore. He's averaging like a 15.3 average depth of target this year. He has been giving up multiple big time plays. And so DK Metcalf, I think, is in for a real, I mean, he should not be $6,300. He's obviously coming off a huge game where he saw 14 targets, 10 catches, 129 yards and a touchdown last week. So I do think DK Metcalf we can look at, but Brandon Ayuk, the Rams run zone coverage at like 84%. So they barely reuse zone. And Brandon Ayuk last year was top 10 against zone coverage last year. So Brandon Ayuk, I think, is $6,200. I think he's going to be really pretty chalky considering the players they have out. But as long as it's not anything out of this, anything crazy, I just love Brandon Ayuk this week. I know he's kind of started off slow, but they kind of missed him on a couple of what could have been a touchdown. So I think his year could be a little bit better if that didn't happen. But $6,200, Brandon Ayuk, just a great play this week. I think if you want to get down into the lower bit of this range, Tank Dell, I do agree with you. The coverage, the Vikings run a lot of too high safety. And last year, Tank Dell absolutely shredded against that. He had like almost a 4.0 yards per route run rate, which compare that to like Nico Collins last year, it was like 2.5. Like he was the definite target whenever against that coverage. So I think I do agree with you. Tank Dell could be in a smash spot at $5,200. He's an easy way to get access to this game and not have to pay up for as high for Nico Collins. And then I think past that, Deontay Johnson, I get it. This offense has been really bad, but I think this is a prime spot for him to break out. Andy Dalton at least is a serviceable quarterback, where this offense was so incredibly bad with Bryce Young, where – you know, I do respect the Raiders' defense. I definitely respect their front seven, but their secondary could definitely be had. So Deontay Johnson at $4,900. I know it's not sexy, but I think he's in play. And then a little bit further down, I think a couple players. I actually played quite a bit of Jalen Naylor last week. I don't really care if Jordan Addison is back or not this week. He is basically running 100% of the routes with this team. They run a lot of 11 personnel. And so Jalen Naylor is still going to be out there running a lot of routes. He scored 2 touchdowns. He came through for me last week with 14 fantasy points. And then the other one, kind of my little player of the week here, is going to be Jordan Whittington. I really like Jordan Whittington. He's $4,200. He is very much, very similar to Cooper Kupp in terms of, I think, the way that they utilize him. I think they're going to utilize him in the slot really heavily. And then when you look at him, like, he balled out in the preseason. He was one of the best preseason wide receivers. And so I think he could be that guy that is going to take over that role. I like him more than a DeMarcus Robinson. I like him more than Tyler Johnson or Tutu Atwell. And so Jordan Whittington at $4,200, I think, is one of the best, point per dollar plays down here that there is on this slate. And so he's $4,200. I really like getting there. But past that, like, maybe if you wanted to get, I don't know if it's chasing or not, but Jalen Tolbert is kind of what I was hoping was going to happen. He saw 9 targets last week for 82 yards, but he's still only $3,800. I think you could take a little bit of a gamble, a little bit of shot on him to, because I definitely think that this is a team that is just searching for weapons. Because, I mean, outside of CeeDee Lamb, I know Brandon Cooks is still there, but he's 30-plus years old. Hopefully all the reports this offseason about Jalen Tolbert really being a bigger part of this offense, hopefully it's true. And like I said, we saw it last week where he saw 9 targets. So I definitely think he's also in play.
Yeah, I like Tolbert and stacks with Baltimore, Dallas as well too, especially with Dak at quarterback. Definitely encouraged to see that usage. But, Brandon Cooks could also be in play too. And I think that, a lot of the things that we were talking about last week, like, definitely become in play this week, which is the mega stack. When you are taking, a quarterback with 2 or 3 pass catchers along for the ride, like, you're just setting your team, you're setting yourself up for success if you get that game environment right in so many ways. And so, like, especially with a guy like Dak, like, don't be afraid to, pair him with one or two other guys besides CeeDee, because of how prolific that offense can be. Same thing with like a Kyler Murray. Like, it's going to be expensive, but, if you take him, MHJ, and McBride, like, and all the points happen to go through there because, Kev, you're talking about it being a tough matchup for running back. Like, that's where I think we can, you know, make some good teams that are, you know, a little bit contrarian, but definitely get the game script right that we want to, and you know, have our rosters tell that same story. Yeah, wide receiver is fun this week. Love that Kev went deep into the barrel there to talk about some of these situations, because yeah, the 4K range is going to be an interesting one when we have the Rams receiver core shape out and figuring out what the 49ers are doing on the other side. And yeah, Deontay Johnson, love that call out. Like, Andy Dalton is starting for a reason, and that is to get this offense some life and get some things going. Trust me, there was nobody more excited than that quarterback change up than Deontay, with the way that things played out in Pittsburgh. Like, he knows what time it is, and he knows he wants that damn ball. And Andy could definitely get it to him. We know that he loves to have his wide receivers target his wide receivers in bunches. Anything else at the wide receiver, guys, before we move on to tight end?
No, I'm good. We can move over to tight end.
So tight end is a fun one this week. We got, you know, two 6K price guys. It's Sam Laporta and Trey McBride. And tight end's been a disappointing narrative. George Kittle showed out last week for the tight ends, you know, putting up the game that he had, and he's going to be questionable. He would have been an interesting piece there at 5,700 this week, and still could be if he's able to suit up. Brock Bowers has been absolutely incredible, putting all your, you know, Sam Laporta, hold my beer. I'll continue to put the rookie tight ends can't have success narrative to bed. I mean, the target share that he's been getting on the team with Devontae Adams is incredible, with 17 targets to start the year, and he's only at 5,400. Shout out to our boy Cody at TFA, playing him in his main lineup last week, and I was telling him, hey Cody, you might want to consider, you know, changing Brock Bowers up and putting somebody else in, and he stuck with it and reaped the dividends on that. So shout out to you, Cody. And then yeah, I mean, cheap tight end, you know, as kind of maybe been paying off if you can, you know, get it right, but it's definitely been ugly in the mid-tier range. So, you know, it's definitely, like we said, like we talk about all the time, like, pay up at, you know, tight end to ensure the points, or you're pairing the tight end, doesn't matter how cheap they are, with your quarterback. And for me, that's going to be the case this week. I do love Lamar Jackson, so I'm going to have some shares of Mark Andrews, of course, especially with him being only $100 priced up than Isaiah Likely, and Likely's route coming back down to earth. I think this is definitely a game where, you know, Lamarck might have to come back out and they go back into the bag and show what's worked for Baltimore all this time. And so definitely want to be on an Andrews game when he's able to pop off in a good game environment there. And then yeah, Shoemaker on the other side of that game, I'm going to have interest in him and my Dak stacks to be cheap. But, you know, I mean, Brock Bowers, of course, if he's going to get this, you know, line share, it's just, you know, what kind of game script is that going to be on the other side with Andy Dalton? I'm curious to see. I would like to play Bowers in a mini stack if I'm going to be playing him. But if I'm just going to pay up for a tight end, it's going to be Trey McBride. I mean, he's just been so good, so consistent. And, you know, MHJ is just kind of, he's a little expensive. He's had those two touchdowns, but only four catches. Like, you know, those were the big things that he was doing. And it just seemed like they made it a point to get Harrison involved and like, okay, like we did what we need to do. Yeah, this guy's going to be a stud. But like, you know, that was pretty much it. It wasn't like he was going the whole game, but McBride's been out there and he's been doing so much of the dirty work that I feel like he could have this game. It's hard to trust Laporta on the other side of that game with the 6K price tag right now. That just gets tough unless there's an injury there, especially with Jameson Williams coming onto the scene. Kev, talk to us about tight end, man. Where are we at? Bottom barrel tight ends for you, or what's the word?
I mean, it's hard not to love Brock Bowers considering what he's done so far with a one thing we always say we love about tight ends, Maddie, is air yard share, right? And that yep. We love is air yards. Well, Brock Bowers ranks top five in market share of air yards with 24%. He's also seeing a 23% target share, and he's also seeing a 30% target per route run rate. So, and he's just been probably the best tight end in the league so far. To start out the year, he's been consistent, two double-digit performances. So it's while this offense is not one we should love, at least he has been consistently getting there. The other one you guys mentioned is Trey McBride. He is right in the same boat, pretty much putting up a lot of the similar numbers. But then the other one, so Jake Ferguson sounds like he should be back this week. He got in a limited practice. It does sound like he should return. And if he does, well, we like air yard share. I know it was only a small sample, but he has a 27% air yard share with a 20% target share and a 35% target per out run rate. So Jake Ferguson's like $4,500. So yeah. I do think that's still too cheap for what he provides. And if you want to pay down, because I'm not trying to take everybody from Maddie, is I do think that in the pay down options, Greg Dulcich is actually been running a lot of routes. And he's been seeing targets. They just haven't been accurate targets so far. But he's only $2,900. If you're wanting to pay down, you could look to him. But other than that, like, there's not a lot of, like, I mean, we could keep chasing Colby Parkinson. We want to talk about players that are out there running routes. It's definitely Colby Parkinson. But the player that's not doing a fucking thing with them is also Colby Parkinson. He's just not seeing a whole lot of opportunity. I do still really like Dallas Goedert, $4,600. He's still too cheap without A.J. Brown. And so I do think – I know he only saw four targets last week. I thought I figured he'd have been a little bit more involved than that. But that game also kind of slipped away from him. But Dallas Goedert at $4,500 or $4,600, I also think is a pretty good spot here.
Love it. Maddie, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to rehash the guys that you guys talked about. One guy I'll just throw in is Dalton Schultz. I think, Ryan, you might have mentioned him at the top, or Kev. I don't remember which of you guys, but the name was definitely thrown out, and I agree. I mean, 4,300. Ferguson's probably going to be the chalkiest tight end this week, him and Bowers. Schultz is only 200 less. He's attached to that, you know, C.J. Stroud play that we talked about earlier. And especially if Mixon's out, right? Like, you get into the red zone and your run game becomes less efficient. And, you know, all of a sudden it's third and goal from the 6 yard line. And, you know, it's just a big spot for tight ends to rack up touchdowns. And I mean, Schultz showed upside last year. I mean, I don't think it's realistic to think he's going to score 20 plus, but I mean, he did have a game last year. We had 11 targets and he caught 10 of them for 130 and a score. So, I mean, he did flash a ceiling, but I really realistically think, you know, he gets you somewhere in the 15-ish point range, which would be totally awesome from a $4,300 tight end. So I like C.J. Stroud a lot this week, and, you know, the Texans pass game is going to be high on my list.
Love it. Let's talk about defense, boys, to round it out this week. Pretty straightforward as we talk about this. And, you know, nothing more straightforward to me this week for defense. If Malik Willis is active for the Green Bay Packers, I will be firing up the Tennessee Titans. This defense has been, you know, playing so well this year, and it's been going under the radar because of the play that Will Levis has been throwing out there. This guy's just so despicable. And even, you know, his own coach on the sideline is telling him as such that the play's been dumb. He's calling dumb plays that he says an oppressor. I could believe it. Love Bill Callahan for keeping it real. But yeah, if it's not Jordan Love out there, definitely have interest in them. $100 less, you can get the Bears, who are going on the road, but they get this indie team that is reeling and also dealing with some injuries themselves on both sides of the football. And then the $3,000 range. In that same game, as I mentioned to you before, if I could pay up for them, I do have interest in the Packers because of how bad Will Levis has been playing and what they've been doing on offense there. Just can't seem to really get anything going. And this is an opportunistic defense on that side of the ball. So those are the three defenses for me that I'm looking at this week. Maddie, what are you doing at defense?
Yeah, I love the Titans call at home against Green Bay at 2,700. That's at near the top of my list. The Steelers are a little bit more, 3,300. They're also at home. Herbert's banged up. The Steelers they've looked really good, like a really good defense through 2 weeks. So I like them at home. And then I do agree with the Packers call, even though they're on the road, 3,300. And then also Tampa Bay at home against Denver at 3K. That's another solid option.
Oh, yeah, 3K. Woo, that's nice. That is tasty. Kev, talk to the people, man. What you doing at defense?
Yeah, the Bucs defense, I think, is one. I mean, now that Bryce Young has been benched, I think Bo Nix is now probably the mantle for the worst quarterback in the league right now. He's been sacked 4 times. He's also been hit 7 times, which is the 3rd highest rate in the league. The Bucks, I just think, are a really good spot. I thought they would be more expensive than the 3K they are. It just feels very mispriced for what they should be. Seahawks are also really good in play. They're top 3 in pressure rate on the season. And so, you know, obviously the Dolphins' offensive line isn't very good. Now you're putting Skylar Thompson back there. They're also at home. So the Seahawks, I definitely think you can still look at that. I mean, they're $3,500. I think it's too crazy. But one of the other options here, and I don't love this, but I'm going to say it, and it's going to be the Panthers, because Gardner Minshew so far this year has been sacked a ton. I mean, he leads the league in sacks. He's been sacked 9 times. The Panthers are $2,400. Like, I don't think this is a game where you're like, oh, man, this Panthers team, or if you're the Raiders team, is just going to just steamroll them, right? And really, I don't think that's going to happen. I think this game could be much closer now with Andy Dalton here, quarterback. And so while I know they lost their best defensive player, Derek Brown, I mean, we've just seen him time and time again this year, Gardner Minshew, take a ton of sacks. And so I do think the $2,400 Panthers could be a play.
Love it. Love it. Derek Brown, shout out D-Bro on the pod 1 time. Yeah, love it. Yeah, fun week. This is going to be definitely a fun week. I think week 3 is you know, we talk about the first week being good and people, you know, think they know what's going to happen, and so you get, you know, your chalk, and then week 2 is the overreaction to week 1 and see. But now that we're starting to get data points, like, this is where it really gets fun, because this is where we can kind of, you know, chalk is going to form. It forms every week. Popular plays become popular plays for a reason. They get talked up, but you know what? I like to do, and I think what we all like to do, is to think about ways to get different from the field. And this is a perfect week, especially when we only have 3 game environments that are really jumping off the page. So many low totals, so many games under 40. You're definitely going to want to be paying attention to your injury reports heading into the weekend, and definitely on Sundays, you're going to be be paying attention to an active list, because a lot of things can shape up for this slate as it gets juicy. And speaking of getting juicy for this slate, fellas, we got to build out our team in the Millie. I got to pull it up right here. We do it every week, and what a better week than to do it. So I'm going to start it off this week. I usually don't start it off, but I'm going to start it off, and I'm saying we're playing CeeDee Lamb this week, and let's see what we can build out here with one of the highest priced wide receivers, the highest priced wide receiver on the slate.
Matty,
who wants to take it from there?
Let's go Lamar.
That's where you get Kev's wheels turning. I can already see it. Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Zay Flowers.
I knew that was coming.
Okay. Actually, you know what? No, we're gonna need the money. Let's go Justice Hill in the same game at running back.
Wow. Let's go Tank Dell.
50 or 4,200 left for running back, tight end, flex, and defense.
Let's go Zach Charbonnet.
I would have tried to put him in if you didn't, Kev. Let's see what we got. Let's see what we got here. I'll let you guys figure it out. I'm just going to put the Titans D in right now, considering they're playing Willis.
But that's assuming that Jordan Love doesn't play.
Assuming that Jordan Love doesn't play, yeah.
This is up to you, Matty.
Let's go. Let's try Ferg. Let's see what Kev can scramble up from the bottom of the barrel.
3,600 he's got.
I see Elijah Moore is what I see on my end, but.
Britton Covey.
His boy Whittington. What's Whittington?
42.
Yeah. That was the first one he thought of. First one he thought of. Kev, we got to come off of Zay. What about Bateman?
If you're going to do that, then I would just say swap out Zay and go to Mark Andrews at 4,600.
Mark Andrews is only 4,800. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, he's so cheap.
And we can take Ferg out if we're doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a better path.
5,050 for wide receiver and flex.
Yep. Go ahead, Kev.
Tell you what, I'll take Jordan Whittington. That'll leave you $5,900 left.
What you think, Maddie?
I almost wish we had like a couple more hundred.
Well, we can like play Panthers D.
That's what I was thinking, because then it kind of gets you to that tier of the running backs.
Six K, yeah.
Those tiers of running backs that have like,
or you can also play Amari also,
or Brandon Ayuk, who's 6,200.
Yeah, we don't have Mason. We definitely need a 49er. So I would go Ayuk Panthers. That's what I would do. I would be very careful about not playing a 49er this week with how consolidated that offense is going to be.
The Justice Hill one just throws me for a loop, but the rest of the slide bar, really, like,
it does.
Hey, well, listen, like, so yeah, my thought is if if CD's breaking stuff, they're gonna have to pass. I mean,
it makes sense for the way that this is built, right? Because you're building this as like, okay, the Cowboys are gonna get a lead. They're playing from behind, and so if they're playing from that kind of a game,
you got script, 8 targets against Kansas City. Like,
that's gonna be a Justice Hill game script. So, like, I don't hate it. It's just. I mean, this is a millimaker team, though. I mean, this is a millimaker team.
This is a millimaker team. Hey, so just to recap for the people out there, and this is probably the quickest we've built a team in quite some time. So, you know, shout out to us. Oh, give ourselves a pat in the back for that. But we got Lamar Jackson, Justice Hill, Zach Charbonnet, CeeDee Lamb, Jordan Whittington. That Whittington and Ayuk mini stack, I like that. Ayuk in the flex, Tank Dell, Mark Andrews, and then the Panthers D to round it out. $0 remaining, and that is your Millie Maker team for the DGen Nation pod, powered by the Fantasy Authority. I can't believe I went an hour and 10 minutes without telling the people, yo, if you guys want to hear from us, if you guys want to be in on the action, come and join us on Discord. Link is in the description. Reach out to any one of us. We will get you guys hooked up so that you guys can get in there and talk about it. It's not just about daily fantasy over there. We got redraft talk. We got dynasty talk. We got so much stuff for the people all around the NFL season. 365 talking football. So definitely get in on the action. Discord, link in the description for the Fantasy Authority. We appreciate that. And for the DGen Nation pod, that is going to do it this week. Under an hour 15, so you guys get your lives back from us, and you guys can do else go build some lineups, go build some winning lineups. We appreciate that. It's week 3. This is where the fun happens. This is where the madness happens, and we appreciate you guys rocking along with us each and every week. Thank you so much. Make sure you download the pod, like and subscribe if you haven't already, and leave us a review while you're at it. We appreciate that. Signing off for the Godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele. Fantasy Rat 13. You can find him on Twitter. Maddie DFS, Maddie 2v2. Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter. And then myself, Ryan Williams, at Ryan Alexander underscore W. We will catch you guys next week. And until then, get that money. Peace.
You know who you're talking to. But you better get used to the way the war battles. I see what you got. It measures in ounces. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.